This is July 31st, and the next meeting is August 21st in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well, good morning, my friends. I think that it might be useful for us to present some encouragement committee to you. Because I know as I look out and as I see the numbers of you that have been coming to these meetings with incredible open interest and receptivity for many years, now as we begin the last presentations, I think it's important that you understand part of your process so that when this gaseous presentation is not here once a month, that you will remember what it is you're all about, that you will remember clearly what you are doing and where you're going and why it appears to be the way it appears to be, so that you will not fall into the discouragement committee. You will not allow yourself to be confused by the simplicity of the path that you've taken, and that you remember, I hope with as much aliveness as possible, what you have been doing. So let's just go into it simply. When we began with some of you, 17 years ago, there was a very strong level of disbelief of your own potentiality for awakened enlightenment. There was a definite idea that you had to have something or someone outside of you to come in and do it for you, or do it to you, or do it something. And therefore, you began many, many, many different paths, going this way, that way, experimenting with all kinds of things, both legal and illegal. And as this process of seeking the simplicity of the journey, what we ask you to remember is that you have, most of you now, have a very simple knowing of what the process is. It is no longer having to be in a certain place at a certain time with a certain person. If that is your concept, I ask you now to stop it. That is a limitation of your own absolute potential vastness. That is a limitation totally on the great, overwhelmingly ever-present help that is available through all forms of awakening. All of the great known and unknown awakened wondrous consciousnesses are still absolutely ready and willing and available for the absolute most intimate guidance that you ever need and want. They can guide you in the most specific ways as to yes, this, yes, this, or in the vast ways of awakening parts of the psyche that are pretending to not be totally aware of their own reality. And so as the weeks and months and years have gone on, what has happened time and time again as you have come and sat here or gone to workshops or gone on tours, whatever way you have been with this energy, what has happened is that level of self-doubt has begun to thin. Do you understand? Do you agree? All right. Good. It has begun to get thinner, more open, more spacious. And as that doubt level begins to be more spacious with greater openings, there happens then directly into the physical body a relaxation. Because you are no longer tense like this, looking for God. I know God somewhere. Oh, dear God, am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? Oh, please, God, am I... Do you remember that? And then the sitting in meditation like this, absolutely doing nothing, the ego totally meditating, and you're meditating. Do you remember that? And now I hope, I sense in so many of you, and not only those that started in the early days, but those who have been coming in later times, a way of being relaxed in the moment of this moment with the knowing that is ever increasing of the potential of the moment to bring you God awareness. God enlightenment, that which you were seeking now, in this moment, without anything needed, without anything taken away, without any kind of secondary presence in order to bring you what you want. And I ask you to really be aware of how the doubt level in your own life has begun to thin. And as that begins to thin, as far as your sense of the ability to find God, I hope there also comes the awareness of your own sense of your own beauty, a sense of your own integrity, a sense of your own wonder, of your own awareness as it is itself. And so what has happened is that month after month after month, all of these unseen layers have become thinner, more gossamer, until now, for many of you, I would say without qualification, you are ready to look on the face of God in whatever way you acknowledge that, and that it can be done now, and it doesn't need anything in front of it, in back of it, through it, or with it, that all is necessary is your being. And you know one thing, you cannot not be. That is one thing you all know. You can be this and you can be that. You can be this and then change and no longer be that. But the one thing that you cannot stop doing is being. And what are you? You are as you are. You are that which you are. You are that which you have always been and will always be. You are what you are seeking. You are pretending to seek that which you are. You are playing hide and seek with the vastness of your own awareness. And this is just one stage of that. And please, with all of the love, we ask you to be aware that at any moment, this seeking, this pretense of not knowing who you are, can stop. And as you begin to acknowledge deeply within you that it can stop at any moment, then instead of looking for the moment, you can relax. And in the relaxing, you will begin to experience that state. You will begin to be aware of the non-mental awakened being presence, which is always present. You will begin to know what is here, has always been here, and could never go anywhere because it is what is. It is not two things. There are not two things. There's not you and it. There's not you struggling to find it. There is only this illusory searching, this illusory finding, this illusory excitement of I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer, I'm getting closer. And one moment, I believe each one of you says, I am tired of searching. I am sick to death of searching. I'm sick of, isn't it? I'm sick of trying. I'm sick of trying here and trying there. And that all this trying is very trying. And that is exactly what I want you to realize, that it is the trying itself that is the separating factor of your consciousness. It is this idea that somehow it is not here, present, alive, and for you, that there is some kind of formula that you have to sit down and follow with, you know, not only you have to have the right diet, you have to wear the right color clothing, and you have to either have sex or if not in a certain way. I mean, good heavens, my friends, I don't know how anybody ever, you know, just lets go. But one moment comes the anger that says, why should I be seeking what I am? Why? What is this confusion that allows me to go around asking somebody to tell me who I am? Why? Don't you know who you are? Who could tell you better than you? So when you start understanding this, good heavens, I know who I am. I'm the only person probably who knows who I am. How do I know? Because I experience my I am. I experience in the moment, no matter whatever else I happen to be experiencing, what I experience is that same I am that is present in my trauma, in present in my joy, in my bliss, in my forgetfulness. And then you start loosening up the game. And then you start saying things like, even in my forgetfulness, there is total being. Let me say that again. Even in my total forgetfulness, there is being. How could there not be being? Just because the little mind, your little finite mind, has not remembered being, does this then mean that being ceases to be? Does it mean then that somehow some contortion takes place and you forget being and therefore it ceases to exist? What is the reality? And as you begin to stop running from the truth of what you're experiencing, you begin to directly identify that each moment, one thing you know beyond all question is you are. That is all you know. That is all. At this moment, you say, yes, I could say I am alive. And within one instant, we could change that. And you could be dead. You could say I am and then give your name. In an instant, You could die and lose that total identity as whoever that is. All I'm asking you to do is to begin to be truthful about the truth of what you experience about yourself. And instead of seeking ever further for something to come to you or in some way through you to realize it is you. You see, finally, you get very sophisticated in this search, and you find what the last line says, well, now I know that everything's God. All I have to do is to keep remembering. Have you noticed how tedious that is? Have you noticed how very boring that is? Going around remembering, oh, I forgot I'm God. Oh, I forgot. Everything's God. I forgot. I have to remember. Eventually, you get as bored of that as you do of all the other approaches. You finally decide it's got to be even more simple than that. It cannot be that I have to always remember. It has to be something simpler, because remembering constitutes two things, you and something to remember. And you have been told, until you want to throw rotten tomatoes, there is but one thing. Any separation is in your mind and is not true. It is a temporary illusion, and once the dawn of awareness is fully present, you see without question what is. And what you see is no separation. Everything is you, not me, little me, but I, the vast I of self, of light, of God, of awareness, of consciousness, whatever word you choose to place there. That moment of awakening, and you see it, and you never from that moment on are the same. And that is the moment that you're seeking. What you are seeking for, you have been swimming, walking and walking. You know, you start this struggle, this seeking, and you're on the beach. You decided, all right, I'm gonna plunge into this. So you start walking, and you get your feet wet, and then you get your ankles and so on. And finally, you know, you're up to your neck. And then you keep on walking and walking, and all of a sudden, the shelf of the beach drops. And you take that next step, and you're in. And that's what you're waiting for. That wonderful moment of, I'm in. Now, each one of you, to whatever extent, has an idea in your mind of something you have to do, someone you have to be, something that you have to give up, something that you have to get, something to allow that to happen. And I would like to tell you that what you have forgotten is that it is the self itself that is walking. It is the self that is seeking its own self. So it knows exactly what it is doing. However you might be confused as separated awareness, I want you to know that the deep self knows precisely what you're doing, where you're going, and how to do it. And you can stop worrying. But you say, oh, but if I stop worrying, then I'll fall asleep. I'll fall asleep. And my answer is, in your sleep, you are as much the self as when you are awake. You have just pretended that when you're asleep, you're the not self. Well, what are you then? What are you when you're asleep if you're the not self? What is this not self? And how do we begin to describe it? And so forth. When you begin to be very honest, you will see the simplicity of the entire situation, which is, you are that. And the only thing that keeps you from the wonderful jumping off of the next step is this idea that it is a thing, an idea that it is something to be found, to be sought, to be gained, to be realized. And I have added to your confusion, and I ask your forgiveness, but I have told you from the beginning that I was lying to you. Do you remember? I've said it from the very beginning. I am lying to you, and every word I say is not true. Because it is every time I open this mouth and allow all this to happen, the words themselves make things separate. They make 2 or 100 or 1 billion out of the one. And so I have contributed, but I would like to ask you to remember that if 17 years ago you have come and sat here and I said, well, there's nowhere to go and nothing to do and just stop, do it, and be, you'd say, well, goodbye. Wasn't that right? You'd say, well, what do you mean? I mean, I have to go through my process. I mean, I have to become awake. I have to become pure. I have to become holy. I have to eat the right food and do the right thing and stop doing all those bad things. And then, worst of all, stop thinking all those thoughts, and I have to stop being judgmental. And you have worn yourselves out. You have worn yourselves out for 17 years. Stop it. Stop it. It is this. It is the doubt. It is the confusion. It is the restlessness. It is everything that is being experienced is it. And the idea that this it is just bliss and nothing more has to be looked at seriously. And how do you look at this? Well, look at the ones who you identify as being filled with bliss. And we'll start with Jesus. What a life he had. Would you call that a sweet little laid-back happy life? Everybody loving you and throwing garlands of flowers at your feet and bringing you... Now, it's true that there are some teachers that have that happening to them. But it didn't happen to the great ones that you know. And so I asked you to begin to identify that the external life and the external picture of the awakened one is multifaceted and is different in every awakened state and does not look the same in A and B and C and D. And you do not have to look like anybody else who you identify as awakened. And so this idea of trying to follow the past and to somehow duplicate the awakening of other people only leads to terror. Because you are who you are, and when you awaken out of the pretense that you are not already awake, what you're going to be is who you are as the enlightened state of your own awakened consciousness, and it will be very different from any idea you've ever had of it. It will not be a nice little feeling of being in love. I think finally, when you pin the human psyche down, what you come up with is this idea that I know enlightenment is like being in love with somebody but without worrying. Isn't it? Stop and think about it. It's like being in love and without worry. That it'll never go away, never be taken away, it will always be there, and that's what enlightenment is. All right. Now, that very statement can be the defeat of you because you have already identified what the feeling of being in love is. And what I want to tell you is when this explosion happens, there is absolutely nothing about it that is like you think it's going to be. It is an awakening to the new because it is not the same. But at the same time, please understand this, it is absolutely familiar. It is familiar because it is your true nature that you have been living in from the moment that you began to think yourself separate. You have been thinking that separate process in the midst of this self. It has always been you. It has always been that which is present. You have simply been overlooking it because of the endless phenomena that keeps rising and falling and coming and going. And the focus is on the rise and fall of the phenomena. And you have missed that arena in which it's all rising and falling. And when you finally begin to quiet down, when you begin to get less noisy, you begin to sense this. Now, Mary Margaret read a very interesting book, and I don't know the author, but it's called Consciousness Speaks. And in it, this gentleman, who is a student of Nasargadatta, blah, 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 anyway, whatever, if you're interested in lineage, that's the lineage. An awakened one in India who, instead of saying, who am I, as Ramana, said, what am I? That's his difference. But nevertheless, this gentleman has written a text, and one of the things that is very interesting is his discussion of the difference between thinking mind and working mind. And it is thinking mind that is the one that gets you in trouble, and it is working mind that you can use with tremendous fun and abandonment and joy. The difference should be obvious. Working mind sits down and says, I must balance the checkbook, and balances the checkbook. Thinking mind says, oh my God, there's not enough money in the account. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my house. You're a bag lady within 5 minutes. That's thinking mind, and nothing has happened. You're sitting there at your desk. Nothing has changed. You are the same, external, internal, but you have become terrified. You have become something that you will probably never become. But so it is this idea of thinking mind that grabs a hold of the moment and then takes it into past or future. If you want a definition of where you find thinking mind, you will identify it in yourself. If you are in the past, ruminating, or in the future, ruminating, you can be planning and be outside of thinking mind. planning mind and working mind are very similar. Planning mind says, I need to go to San Francisco, I need to call Southwest, I need to get an appointment and a car and whatever. Thinking mind says, oh my God, I don't know, what if my car breaks down on the way? What if I miss my flight? What if I don't have a car when I get to the airport? What if I run out of gas on the Golden Gate Bridge? That's thinking mind. Understand? And it's very simple, and doesn't take, a degree in anything special to understand. What it takes, however, is a relentless, delightful abandonment into watching what you're doing. It is that simplicity of being aware of when you begin to take the tidal pull of the current that takes you out there, when you are no longer relaxed and awake and present, but are not even present, you don't even know you have a body, you will be in your automobile, perhaps going in the total wrong direction, because you are not driving, you are in your mind thinking. You are not in the moment at all. And that is where you lose the bliss of life. Because it is in the moment of this moment, exactly as it is, whether you are a paraplegic, or whether you are whatever the opposite of that might be for you, it is in this moment, right now, that joy and availability is present in. And any movement into any idea that it is anywhere else, that there's any special other place that is more available, all that it does is drop you into thinking mind and takes you on a runaway course, only to leave you confused and frightened. I have told you before that you are scaring yourselves to death, and you are. In this very simplistic way, you are scaring yourselves to death. You don't have enough money for retirement, what's going to happen to you? You don't have enough money for your mortgage, do you understand? And is all of that relentless? Does it really benefit you? This is the question. Does it benefit you to let thinking mind scare you to death? Or is it perhaps more useful to simply just allow the moment, which has all of the clarity that you need, in the quiet of the empty moment, comes the ability to sense alternatives, to sense other opportunities. It does not come by running through the fears of thinking mind. So as you go about your days and weeks and months and years, I ask you to remember this distinction. It is thinking mind that frightens you. It is thinking mind that tells you you are not it. It is thinking mind that says you need to be different than you are, and it is a lie. It is a lie. The truth is, you do not need anything other than what you have, which is being, which is your being, which is this moment, and that's all you need. And I say all this, and I can laugh, because I know that you are all going to become realized. How do I know this? Because it is absolutely the purpose, in quotations, of life, of living life, to become self-realized. It is the purpose of human existence to become God-realized. That is the purpose. Not to build great edifices to adorn, and not great institutions to serve, but to become totally, completely self-realized. That is the absolute purpose and destiny of all of you. And you cannot avoid it. And there is nothing that you can do to get away from it, because it is out of your hands. In some very, very wondrous, large, expansive way, your destiny has been cast, and you are magnificently alive and moving toward that ultimate magnificence. I am not worried about any of you. If you are worried, then you're in thinking mind. So I ask you to come back to the moment and to remember. And if these words are not sufficient for you, I ask you to begin to read other people, such as people, awakened ones, such as Rumi, who says, I am here to tell you that it's true. I'm here to tell you it's true. There is God, and God is you, and it is your destiny, and that's my job, says Rumi, and spends 30 years of enlightened life telling people this. It's worth going for. It's true. Keep going. Get confused, then remember, then forget, then get confused, then forget, then remember. Endlessly, but just allow yourself to know that is the ultimate destiny of all humankind to awaken, because that is the purpose of human consciousness. And when you allow that in, that your very every moment has as its purpose, that without you having to contrive it, without you having to contrive it, then you can let go. For example, you say, well, it's only my destiny if I remember it's my destiny. Well, there we are again. We're back to confusion. Oh, I see. Well, if I forget it's my destiny, then it's not my destiny. Then what is my destiny? Well, I don't know. Maybe to live a life and die. Maybe that's my destiny. You know, well, how boring that is. But, you know, if you finally understand the deep part of your being that is constantly aware of the inevitability of the awakening, even when the small self pretends to forget, to just know that it is as it is, all's well. How else can you make sense of this rather sexist statement, God's in God's heavens, all's right with the world? No, it's usually God's in his heaven, isn't it? All's right. Well, let's change that. God's in God's heaven, all's right with the world. How can that be a true statement when you look at the world? If there's anything that seems frightening, it is not your inevitable realization, but the destiny of the planet. Unless you are blind and have no access to outside life, you must realize that this planet is undergoing a siege of violence that is the like of which has never been seen. So when you look at the world, how is it possible with all good heart to say all's right with the world? So what we would just like to remember, to remind you, this is Mysticism 1A, just to remember this, that you, the small you, is not in charge, that the vast self, the I of all awareness that is constantly aware of itself in all of its fullness is in charge. And even though you forget, and even though that you separate yourself as completely as some people on this planet have separated themselves from that truth, it is inevitable. And whatever is created by limited human consciousness is also created and used by the deep self of all. There is nothing to be afraid of. If you let your thinking mind in, you are going to frighten yourself, not only about your life, but about the whole situation, which will only result in more confusion. So I'm simply asking you to learn the simplest of techniques, which isn't even a technique, it's just to stop. It is to stop this frightening yourself to death. And in the stopping of the thinking mind, which you can cut it off so quickly, just stop it. Does it rise again? Yes, then stop it. And then finally you realize that just the turning away from, just for a few moments, from this repetitious pattern deepens and deepens and deepens the ability to just simply be in the moment without thinking mind running you around. But to remember, please, in the middle of your forgetting, in the middle of your pain and your isolation, it is all the same self doing what it deeply knows it needs to do. There is nothing that you can do wrong, but there's nothing that you can do right either. And therein lies the dilemma, because most of you, have been raised to be good boys and girls. And when all of a sudden we say, that's not the goal, everyone becomes very confused. Well, if I'm not supposed to be good, then does that mean I'm supposed to be bad? The answer is, you are supposed to awaken to being. You are just going to awaken to being. And that is the truth. And that is the truth. So, when you are forgetting, being is present. When you are remembering, being is present. When you are trying, being is present. When you are not trying, being is present. There's no problem. The problem is your incessant idea that if I do not remember who I am not going to be who I am. Would you stop a moment and think about that? If I do not remember who I am not going to be who I am. If I forget that I am the very God of the very God, that I am the way and the truth and the light, if I forget that, then I am not that. That is like saying when you have amnesia that you become someone different. No, you've just forgotten who you are. It's a very perfect example, because the one having amnesia doesn't know who they are. And if I might be very rude, that's the state that you're in. And with all great, I hope, love, I say, wake up, wake up. Just be willing to realize that you have some identified idea what awakened enlightenment and consciousness is, and you have compared it to what you're experiencing now, and you say, it can't be this. And we are saying, if you will just quiet down, just a few moments, as many moments as you can, and just quit trying, that what is will be allowed to reveal itself clearly, utterly, completely, deeply, endlessly, now. But all the scurrying, it's got to be here, no, it's got to be there, this place, that place, this book, that book, oh, you know, no, stop it. Oh, I don't meditate enough. Well, there's only one thing you need to be doing, and that's breathing. And you know that you breathe enough. Now, even that gets confusing because you don't breathe right. You don't breathe correctly. It's not good enough that I breathe, but I don't have long enough in-breaths, and I don't have long enough out-breaths, and I don't know the pauses between the in-breath and the out-breath, and I'm a very lousy breather. You're good enough, ladies and gentlemen. You're good enough. This breathing that you're doing, it's good enough, all right? Just keep remembering all of that stuff, all of the filigree, all of the layers on, is only to just confuse the very simple truth now. Now. Out of mind, out of thinking, out of fear, out of all of those places. Stop it. Just be what you are, what you could not be other than. How can you stop being who you are? What kind of gibberish? If your child came up to you and said, I don't know who I am, you'd say, would you please go to your room and think that over? You know who you are. You're George or you're Harriet or whatever the name. But this whole idea that you are pretending not to know who you are is, in the end, the most egotistical thing that you can think. And it is the ego that yearns to have you think it. And the joke, of course, is that the ego is equally the self. And when it is time, the ego will sweetly dissipate, and all of the enlightened awareness will be present. So all you have to do is keep breathing. That's all you have to do. But it is so simple. All you have to do is relax and breathe. And allow the willingness for revelation to be revealed to you. But this insistence on trying, on needing something other than what you are, is disastrous. We do not have time, and we're speaking in the unity of all consciousness, we do not have time for all of you to continue in this dilemma. There is a tremendous necessity for awakened beings on this planet at this time. And we would like to seriously extend the offer to you to take this seriously and to begin to walk around with the knowing that it is possible for you. For you. For you. Not the one with an auspicious birth, but you. Not the one that has been seeing visions since they were five. They're the most likely ones to get totally off the track because they'll stick with the visions until they're 85. And no vision is it. Because a vision has name and form and identification and is not it. It is not not it. Did you get that? It is not not it. Isn't it wonderful, all these confusing words that we can play with? But I ask you to just become very realistic. Either this is something that you want or it isn't. And if it's something that you want, then to shut up and realize it. If you don't want it, stop complaining. That's the other side. Oh, I want you, God, I want you, God. All the time you're thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And between breaths, God's waiting for you to be silent so he can say, I'm here. But just keep saying, I want you, I want you, I want you. Just be silent. You know, if we want to use words that are lies, you know, God's looking for you too. You know, that's a lie. How could God be looking for itself? You know, but let's play. God's looking for you. It's not that you're looking everywhere, you know, it's got to be here. But, you know, that which you are seeking is seeking you as well. It isn't a one-sided excitement. It is both ways. I tell you, and I know that for those of you in pain, this is not very funny, but I need to say it. It is, in the end, a dance. That's why the Indians, the Hindus, call it the dance. It is a dance. It is a drama. It is a play. And as you begin on one level to take this seriously, that is really a play, that there's no real substance in it, that the substance is in something quite different than the play, just as all of the figures on the screen are only alive because they are on the screen, and once they are gone, there's just the screen. And it is the screen that gives the life and the backdrop to the figures. When you finally see this, finished. Finished. Doesn't mean you drop dead. Those of you that are either hoping or fearing that. No, doesn't mean that. But it means your life, as you've been living it, changes because now the perception is total. You see the totality. You see the isness of all is. You see it all. Fully. You see self in all places without special identification of this self. The trap is this self, this identification, me. I didn't say I said me. And with that me, you push yourself through all of your life. Me first. The pain at the heart of your confusion is me first. And your experience is that doesn't work. Some of the times you win, and some of the times you don't. And if you'll just begin to realize that that me and all of its insisting, yammering desires is not what you're seeking. None of those are it. What is it is so much simpler and so much clearer and so nearer that you finally allow yourself to relax into this. Just this. So, each time you hear these words, the understanding goes deeper. This is why you have been so incredibly driven to come, you know, and bore yourselves to death some Sundays. Because past thinking mind, the truth deepens, deepens and deepens, further and further, closer and closer to the core of being. So that you begin to really realize those things that you heard 17 years ago, perhaps, or beyond, and had an idea, an inkling that truth lay there, but just an inkling. And through these 17 years, that's what we have been doing, is just deepening your understanding of your own being. Letting dissipate all those things that are not necessary. And just leaving the simplicity of the clarity of the teaching. This is it. Now. Where do you go? What do you do? No thing. Just relax and be that which you've always been. Without distraction into fear, into separation, into loneliness. Just now. And as that understanding gets deeper and deeper, you begin to trust it more and more. And so what appears to be a blank space, because when you first drop out of thinking mind, it seems that nothing's happening. Because you have identified living, please hear this, you have identified living with thinking. Let me say it again. You have identified living with thinking. You consider thinking to be living. And it is because you think, probably 95% of your waking time, you're thinking. So why would you not? And then you fool yourself and you begin to dream, and that's just another order of thinking. Only it's called dream thinking. So you have come to identify being with thinking. And along comes this windbag that says that's not true. So when you begin to drop out of thinking mind, it can, for a period of time, feel very empty, that there's nothing there. That's because there's no thing there. That's because you have identified a feeling tone with your thinking mind, and you find it absent in working mind. Am I making this clear? Am I? All right. So in this working mind, it doesn't have the feeling that thinking mind has. And when you are not in working mind, but just in relaxed present being, it doesn't feel like thinking mind. And you are accustomed to not really allowing this other feeling in, because you have identified with thinking mind and its energy. You distract yourself endlessly through your thinking, either through thinking or reading or viewing. Do you understand? Looking at the TV or books or videos or whatever. Constantly. Is any problem with that? Of course not. Just understand what you're doing. You're distracting yourself back into thinking, back into that feeling of, oh, I'm thinking, because you really believe that if you keep thinking long enough, you're going to think the right thought. Oh, don't you? Don't you think one day I'll either think the right thought or somebody will tell me the right thing and bang, I'm going to go off like a rocket? It's limitation. What if somebody forgets to tell you the right thing? You know? What if God's too busy, you know, working over here and forgets to tell you this truth? Or what if you miss the train and the guru never finds you? All that is limited mind. Am I saying you shouldn't have teachers? Of course not. Do whatever you want. Have any game you want. But just understand what you're doing. If you think you have a teacher, it is you as your teacher teaching you. If they don't know it, get another teacher. If they don't know it, get another teacher. You cannot escape yourself because you are at all. You cannot hide from yourself because you are at all. The only thing that is missing is this funny little pretense that you are I, me, me. And habituated behavior can be stopped. And eventually, the habituated behavior of believing yourself to be a limited little me will end. And in that moment, you will know. And you will laugh. And you will laugh. Because it is very funny. Running around trying to find something that you have always been. Looking everywhere for the awakening that you have always been. Trying to become something that you have never stopped being. Looking for a home that you never left. So the simplicity of remembering that moment after moment, without you having to remember, without you having to struggle, without you having to remember and judge and regimen your life, remembering the final and ultimate truth, which is the most difficult for the separated human to believe, is whatever the limited, personal self is remembering, nothing has changed. You are that which you're seeking. You are that. And in one moment, in one time, you will see. What I hope is true for many of you who have been so very, very loving and caring to this teaching is that the veil is getting thinner and thinner. The net in which you fall that catches you so that you don't fall into the deep self, I hope, is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. I hope the fibers of that net are rotting away. Oh, good and true, rotting away. And one day, the whole net gives way, and you're in the self. So one way of talking about my job is to rot your nets. Why not? Why not? So, When a question arises in the mind, what should I do? How can I find it? I've lost my way. Who am I? Just remember. Just remember. Ah. That part of me that is the self, that is all the self, is always awakened. And this is but a pretense. This is but a temporary pretense. Question. Let's repeat it. Are we on? All right. The question is, if you are at all awake, and obviously this woman is, you look around and you say, there's a lot of things wrong with God's world. You know, there's a lot of pain and suffering. And the feeling that comes up in this lady is one of despair. And so what to do? First of all, I would like to say that the first part of your statement is not true, which is that you cannot do anything about it. And can we begin there and then go to the second? All right. It is one of the great illusions that your life is unimportant, that this immensity of pain and suffering and chaos is so huge that your little life cannot affect it. And I want you to know that that is not true. That in fact, the miracle that is happening, and I call it a miracle because that's how humans view it as a miracle, the miracle that is happening is that more and more very ordinary human beings without special birth process are just awakening to the incredible beauty of their own being. And in so doing, my friend, that knowing goes out into the frequency of all consciousness. And whether, do you understand, the greatest help you can give to this world is to awaken. Nothing else matters. You can man a unit of 10,000 to go and help those who are having cholera. You can do whatever you want. In the end, what works is wake up. And in that wakening up, you will know, and this is important, you will come to know intimately why the world looks like it looks. Why the world is doing what it's doing. You will understand, not with your mind, but you will be it. You will be the self playing all the parts. You will understand. And for me to say to you piously, don't worry about it, is arrogance on this part. So, of course, you worry. But what I want you to understand is, when you awaken, there comes the knowing of the aha. So that's what it's all about. So that's what it's all about. I only ask you to realize that nothing that is created is ever left without God usage. Nothing is without the absolute total presence and usefulness of the God awareness. Nothing. No matter how difficult, how dark, how ugly, how drab, in the heart and center of it is the light of the one awakened awareness, pulsating and aware of itself and moving through all of the seeming despairing events with its own light of awareness. That is an absolute guarantee. So again, I say, and when I'm speaking, I hope to a mature group of people. I would not say this just anywhere. So no matter what the situation is like, no matter how desperate the situation, the awakened one has no desperation in the realization. It understands deeply that this, as difficult as it looks, is maximum. But you don't get that until you get it. And until then, it looks very chaotic, very confusing, very ungodlike. And I understand that. So my trite answer, and yet my very deepest answer, is awaken and you will see. Until then, we can trade words back and forth and you will never understand. But on awakening, you, on claiming the awakening that is already present, see, even the words mislead, even then, when that moment comes, you, the biggest aha in the world descends. Aha, aha, I see. Actually, there's no I to see. There's just seeing. Being. Fully awake of itself. And then the understanding of the why. For us to say to you, you know, I understand the question, why does the self create like this? What's going on? Can there be a self that creates and a self that's scolding it? I mean, we're separating out again. The answer is, when you awaken, you will know. And I cannot answer any other way. Because all words would just hit the barrier and bounce back. The despair is usually a mental process. Despair comes by your thinking. You despair yourself into despair. You think yourself into despair. You're going along happy. You sit down in front of your television. You have your wonderful dinner or whatever it is. You're all ready. You turn around. Here comes hell. And here goes your stomach. It's a wonder you all have stomachs left after all this television while eating business. And so here comes the horrors. Here comes the nightmares of consciousness parading before your eyes. And so you have responses. But what is really true, and please understand the deepest sense, if you are not there, it's not happening. Oh, I see you all love that. But I really want you to know, please understand, this moment of your light is all that there is for you, this moment. All the rest of that despair is thinking. I wonder how that child's feeling. I wonder how they're all projecting out. Oh, it must be terrible. Oh, what if that child on the television screen has, for whatever reason, burst into awakened awareness right in that moment in the midst of whatever you are despairing? Would you take that away and give them a sweet little life, you know, with a picket fence clear water? The idea, do you understand? You don't know. And please, ladies and gentlemen, until you know, don't judge. Until you know, don't judge. Meaning, you either go crazy and say God is crazy, or there's a diabolical devil running around. That's the other alternative. That worked for a long time. The devil's doing it. Or you just relax and say, I don't understand. And that is the truth of it. You do not understand. You do not understand. And the mind, the finite mind, will never understand. The only thing that will understand is understanding itself. Awakened consciousness itself knows precisely what is going on. And in that moment, it is clear. Until then, you just project your ideas of what they're going through on them. 99% of the time, you're wrong. They are not feeling what you think they're feeling. Especially to the animal kingdom. Oh, poor thing. Oh, I mean, you know. Well, that's another story. But nevertheless, this idea of projecting onto other images things that are not real. I want you to know that just as there is embedded in every single moment of your life, there is embedded in the single moment of everyone's life the same absolute pulsating magnificent self of pure consciousness that knows precisely what it's doing. No matter how confusing. If it be true for you, it must be true for the most downtrodden, the most confused, the most dismal. It's either true all around or it's a lie. And that is, of course, the question that each of you has to ask. What is your belief about all of this? What is your belief about creation? Is it run amok? Did God forget you? You know, did he send you down to earth and say, well, have a good incarnation. I'll see you when you're finished. What is going on? What is your belief about what is here? And that is what we have tried to talk with you in thousands and thousands and thousands of different ways since we've begun our work. What is the meaning of reality? What is real and what is not? And when you awaken to that, you stop worrying. So I would just like to suggest to you, stop worrying. And if you stopped worrying, you might drop into reality. You might drop into awakening. It could be that the worry itself is what keeps you from awakening. It's just an idea. I thought I'd pass on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention. You've been wonderful. And that's it.
Good morning again. I have some further information about the last winter workshop in Taos, which will be February 4th through 9th in Abiquiu, New Mexico. Bartholomew will be presenting the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th in the morning from 8 to 12, and we're planning appropriate activities for the afternoon. This is an in-residence workshop, so people will be staying at the Ghost Ranch from the 4th through lunch on the 9th. We have received information from the Ghost Ranch about the cost of accommodations there during that time. room and board will be covered, and the approximate cost will be $200 for the 5 days. In addition, the cost of the workshop itself will be $300. To reserve a space in the last workshop, which will be limited to 150 people, send a $75 deposit with your request to Joy Franklin, P.O. Box 2996, Taos, New Mexico, 87571. Now, to make sure that everybody has an equal chance of joining this last workshop, we have decided to take postmarks on a first-come, first-served basis. So please, if you're interested in this workshop, mail your deposit and request October 1st. That is the first day we will take reservation requests, and from then on, we will do it according to postmark until the workshop is filled. So please do not send your request until October 1st, because if you do, we will have to return it, telling you that you've missed the date, and then you'll have to send it back again, and you could lose some valuable time in there. So we are anticipating a maximum load in this workshop. In other words, we are anticipating 150 people. So once again, if you're interested, $75 deposit, postmark October 1st or later. Thank you.